In the 1900s, which actually wasn't that far away, but it's fun to say, one of the greatest theologians, and certainly the greatest UU theologian, was James Luther Adams. And he says this about faith. A faith that is not the sister of justice is bound to bring people to grief. It thwarts creation, a divinely given possibility. It robs them of their birthright of freedom in an open universe. It robs the community of the spiritual richness latent in its members. It reduces the person to a beast of burden in slavish subservience to a state or a church or a party, a god made by human hands. So I've already pointed out that it's faith like a river. How is your faith this morning? Is it at a low ebb? Is it high tide? Do you think about your faith? I have been bombarded by mine this weekend as I see all the people in the town, in here, this beautiful place. The faith is strong this morning. Faith grows from a very strongly held belief. That belief becomes faith when held with conviction, not certainty, but conviction. Faith in that which guides our lives is always there. Remember a few weeks ago, I preached and said a person will believe in something, so be careful what you believe in. Faith in that which guides our lives is always there, even if we don't wear the faith's symbol, even if we don't go to church. A strength of feeling inside of us can ebb and flow. What do you have faith in? What is your faith? These are good questions to explore in church. Sure, many of us can say that we are Unitarian Universalist, but we might be also a quiet Christian or a casual atheist or someone who hasn't really thought about it much. Maybe the faith that carries us, that we have passion for, is science or the deep need to create. Can social justice or a fervor for democracy fill the same space as faith? What is the difference between faith and fervor? Faith can feel like it fell asleep inside of us, and then it can get awakened when something big happens to test it or to remind us that we have it. Let's look at this thing that we deal with in church, where things that used to be dealt with theologically are dealt with psychologically now, right? And it's a good thing. I haven't really been called on to get demons out of anybody as a clergy person. I have, however, given references for a good psychologist. The idea of having faith in ourselves is kind of a new thing. It's not typically spoken of as religious faith, more psychological than theological. The idea of feeling good about oneself is not viewed as being very deep. When someone starts talking about having faith in themselves, it's not necessarily going to go into church talk. I submit that in these days, when certain identities are being threatened out of existence, blackness, queerness, immigrant status being threatened out of existence, it is important to keep believing that they do exist and to have faith in the continuing survival. So in these regards, a person might have faith in that eventual arc of the universe bending toward a day when faith is rewarded. Faith is something we carry inside of us. It goes everywhere. It cannot be taken from us. Faith, however, can change over time, and we can be changed when faith in something grows inside of us. It's getting pretty deep in here, so I'm going to switch over to a movie, right? Has anybody ever seen the movie About a Boy? Well, good. When it's raining and you don't have anything to do, watch About a Boy. It stars Hugh Grant, and it's just delightful. Hugh Grant, who I find delightful, plays a wealthy loner. He lives off of the proceeds of a pop song his dad wrote, and he has no family. He does not need anybody, and nobody relies on him. He likes it this way. Friendships take time, and sometimes you have to do something that isn't your choice. You have to make a compromise. So friendship is not worth it to his character. Neither are romantic entanglements. He is content with being a loner. Then, in an uncharacteristically charitable moment, this guy helps a kid in trouble, and this awkward teenage boy chooses to enter his life. Thus begins the entanglements he always avoided: friendship with the boy and his mom, meeting one of the mom's friends and falling for her. His loner status gets shot. Kind of like how I moved up here to have a contemplative life and met this one. But the absolutely, the loner status is no more in this movie. But the absolutely worst part for his character is the scene I feel best encapsulates how I feel when I talk about how faith can change a person. See, when our not quite a hero's outlook was don't depend on anybody and don't be dependable, he was free to judge and make his own choices and look around at people and think they were being suckers. He had disdain for people who allowed themselves to be vulnerable, especially in public. The thought of somebody feeling the emotions of a song so deeply that they closed their eyes was too much for this sort of hero. The thought of somebody publicly closing their eyes, well, that was just too uncool. He had faith in knowing that people will always let you down and that he was better off alone. That was his faith. The cathartic moment in the movie when we know he has been broken wide open is when he helps the kid out during a talent show, and there he is. He finds himself in public, on stage, strumming the guitar, singing his song, and his eyes are closed. He is so taken with the feeling he has done what he disdains. Friends, if you hoped to live the life of a loner, untouched by compromise, walled off from joy, maybe protected from pain, not depending on anybody and not being dependable, well then, this church is not for you. We have faith in building the beloved community and in each participant, in our pluralist approach of each person following the path that is right for them. We are bound, we're bound together by a faith in humanity. Now, some people need to give everything a title or a label or a group, and so humanist gets used. But it's really a faith in humanity. We believe in humanity's ability to do good and bad and to correct the problems that we ourselves caused. In many religions, including this one, your path to God or the holy is a private one that you're free to explore on your own. Your faith will change over your life, and at times it will be more strong than at other times. Your relationship with whatever it is that you hold dear, be it God or Jesus, the earth, is also a personal journey. But in Unitarian Universalism, all of this happens, all of these personal journeys happen all together. Rather than developing a faith in a deity or attending for multiple weeks, hopefully one grows a sense of faith in our personal and collective abilities to do good. Sometimes this faith leads to actually feeling like a conversion of sorts. We find ourselves saying that we are Unitarian Universalist rather than saying, oh, we go to the place over on the common. I think of that movie about a boy, and I think of all the groups we find ourselves in, and then we have to decide, are we going to leave that group or are we going to get embedded? A few weeks ago, somebody asked me, what is the downside of signing the membership book? I was like, what a question. Are you thinking that you want to be a member, but you need... Anyway, so what do you actually get as a member that you don't get by simply coming here? Stick with me. This is not a membership drive. It's been lifted up for me that sometimes people can be going here for years, or sometimes kids are raised in the faith and they don't even know what we're about. So I'm making that effort. I'm changing the way I understand my faith. Instead of hiding it under a barrel, make sure we all understand where we're coming from. So here's what you get if you're actually a member of a UU church. You get to vote. Let me tell you, that's a big deal, which is to have more buy-in as to what happens. And there are positions that can only be held by members. So again, more buy-in. You also get our magazine, the UU World. And your name gets added to our regional and national list of all the members. So now, almost 300 years later, we know that although Thomas Jefferson loved us, and he wrote an essay wherein he predicted that at some point the whole nation would be Unitarian Universal, well, at that time Unitarian, because it was such a logical way to do church and faith, we know, because history is our thing, that he was never a member of a Unitarian or a Universalist church. Because one thing we do incredibly well is archiving. Right, Debbie? So someplace in archives somewhere, it will show that you were a member. Here, it's in the drawer under here. But let's look at the reality of belonging to a faith like ours. Maybe you never belonged to a church, or maybe you have church hopped. So now your friends and family are going to ask, why this one? What is it that hooked you? What do they have? What did they promise you? Are you okay? Our answers are all individual, but there are commonalities. Mine have varied over the years. What did they promise you? What do they have? What is it that hooked you? Well, I've said things like, UU saves lives, because it does. We are small but mighty, and I like that. We are pluralist. We follow many paths, but we all believe in the inherent dignity and worth of every person and in protecting the earth. Now, after I've said any number of these things, or maybe after you've said any number of your things, if the conversation continues, that's a good thing. Usually, but not often, the conversation trails off when they ask other questions like, but do you use the King James Bible? And my answer is, sometimes. Sometimes when someone asks about your faith, our faith, and we try and talk about what it is that we believe in, sometimes it's going to land, sometimes not. Every time there is a controversy over civil rights or earth protection, we are right there, and I mean right there. In D.C., when the mayor signed equal marriage into law before it became federal, the mayor signed at All Souls UU Church in D.C., and the backdrop was the bright yellow standing on the side of love banner. We answered the call to Selma back in the 60s. We answered the call at Standing Rock. We answered the call in Minneapolis. The climate walkers who walked all the way across this nation on their way to the climate march, they were not all UUs. I don't know if any of them were, but 90% of the places that put them up were UU churches. Now, this isn't to say that we're the only good church. There are so many good houses of worship. For our size, we have about 1,000 churches and 250,000 people. We are absurdly overrepresented in areas that fight for what is labeled liberal or progressive values. Even Garrison Keillor picked on us. Remember, like Wobegon? many people who have not been to seminary will kind of think that we aren't really a religion, but a philosophy or a movement or a cult or a political group. And those who have been to seminary know that our clergy is among the most rigorously trained, screened, and educated among our Protestant colleagues. It means they either respect us or they really, really dislike us, like we should have known better or something. To this I say, if they're only going to meet one you in their life, and it's you, be the best you can be. Pull up your faith from deep in your heart to talk about it. Having had my faith in the democratic process recently tested, I have been thinking about whether a UU church has any kind of fertile ground for growing moral, brave candidates. One of your former ministers became a moral and brave candidate. There are some UUs who have been great candidates and serving, not just candidates. They made it. They won. Our in-church leaders tend to be pretty virtuous. It is an extremely rare occurrence that a member of a UU church is embroiled in a scandal because we tend to live our values, we tend to hold accountability to other people, and we don't have these weird ideas of how you're supposed to be. Just do your best. Add to humanity. UU is pretty integrated. It does happen. I just said we're all moral and we're so great. Well, it does happen. I mean, of course, there are moments when any of us could be non-virtuous. Humans are flawed. Usually scandals and crimes happen when one part of our life is in conflict with another. UU is pretty integrated into the real life of real people. Now, my kids and I often talk about UU crimes or sins. What's a sin in UU world? Not recycling, using styrofoam, choosing to talk about a silly movie instead of a deep theological source. Humor is important to theology and to faith. It balances joy and woe. And so now I want to get back to that part where you could find yourself being broken wide open in church. It can happen. A person you could not imagine ever being friends with is bringing you a casserole after surgery. Heart wide open. You work alongside others to pack meals, and you laugh and feel good. Heart wide open. You attend a celebration of life for a beloved community member, and you grieve in community, not alone. Heart broken, wide open. We don't require a broken heart to grow one's faith, but it's a common side effect. The other thing that happens from time to time is you get this surge, this overwhelm of pride that's really overwhelming, like you revel in seeing fellow congregants at events for equality. You revel in knowing that your church, your minister, your friends are going to be on the side, on the right side of history. We march for a value that's dear to us. Maybe you're at a national thing or watching national news and you see miles of bright yellow standing on the side of love t-shirts and it's like, oh, there's the love people. Well, that's UUs. Your beloved community is right there, welcoming you in with open arms, hearts broken wide open, letting in all the light. This, friends, this is a faith I can handle. It is worth the risk. And every time I see some picture snapped at a conference or from General Assembly, or even just being here each Sunday, there I am, eyes closed, sometimes swaying. My heart's been broken wide open. I shake my head and I think, yeah, they got me. They got me. I was oh so cynical. I was oh so disdainful of people who showed their joy and their sorrow in public until this faith entered my life. Faith is like a river. Sometimes it's a rivulet, and sometimes it's the rapids. But our faith is always there. Guard it and tend it.